Hey, it's the Film Drunk Frogcast. Ben is in Seattle doing some corporate training. So this is Vince filling in for Ben. Vince Mancini, filmdrunk.com. That's my credits. We got future Hall of Famer Brendan.
Sup?
We got Brett, the grumpiest man in podcasting, Skyping in from New York.
The diorama is complete.
He said that earlier, and he said it again. He wanted to make it sound spontaneous, but it wasn't. I just thought you guys should know. I can't lie to you.
Why are you harshing his mellow, man?
I don't know. We got a lot of stuff tonight. We got Mr. Matt Louvre. The Museum of Comedy is going to be joining us in the Frog Quarter shortly. We're going to talk about Quentin Tarantino's plagiarist girlfriend. We're going to talk...
Spider Lady.
Spider Baby.
Is it Spider Baby?
Spider Baby, yeah.
Spider Baby.
We're going to talk about, Pacific Rim, more so like the nerd tears about Pacific Rim than the movie itself, I think.
I saw that movie.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, Brett saw it, so he can talk about it. Not right now, but in a minute.
Later.
Yeah, and then we got Pat Schumacher, Justin Halpern's writing partner, coming on in a bit. And he is going to talk about irrational movie fights that you've had. And so that's going to be fun. And we got a lot of stuff. It's going to be cool. So many topics to get to. How you guys
topics.
Doing?
My car got broken into.
All right.
Topics.
There was nothing in it. There was actually more stuff in it, I think, after the break-in than there was before the break-in.
Exciting. It's like Christmas for theft.
Well, exciting Christmas. Until you understand that the addition was a half-burnt menthol cigarette with lipstick on it.
Ooh, a lady thief.
Yeah. Well, it is San Francisco, so.
Maybe
yeah,
it was Leanne Spider Baby. She really hit rock bottom.
Maybe.
Come in.
Who's that?
Matt Louvre's here. Look at that. It's like almost like we planned it. Right at the intro.
We should have planned an intro.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a guest. Who could it be?
They oiled the... that's Smokey, if you guys haven't met him. Yeah, they oiled my door.
Yeah, he's barking.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Matt Louvre also saw Pacific Rim, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be fun.
Hey, Frogcast. How's it going?
Hey.
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Have you guys gotten into tearing into Pacific Rim?
No, not yet. Here, I'll play a voicemail on just that subject. I know Laramie's not here, and this voicemail is mainly a praise of Laramie, but it'll get us into the topic a little bit.
Yo, Film Drunk, what's up? It's Lisa Tim Mike again. Just wanted to give a shout-out to Laramie, who came on the Flash Film podcast and talked about Pacific Rim.
First of all, I do not support or condone our listeners cheating on us with other movie podcasts.
How dare you?
We're really listening outside of the bounds that we put forward.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear you doing anything ear-related anytime other than Thursday morning.
There, yeah. We have rules in this podcast. It's not nom.
Get to it early because I like to read the comments while I poop Thursday afternoon. So I really need you to listen only ever about 10 to 11 Western Pacific time.
You're not allowed to listen to other podcasts or the Doobie Brothers.
Laramie kind of defended his ass about how the movie is a bunch of racial and sexist stereotypes and freaking horrible. And the other hosts were like, no, bro, they're totally awesome. Laramie's right. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test. All the female characters are stereotypes. All the ethnic characters are stereotypes. The whole movie is about a red robot, a blue robot, and a gray robot fighting monsters. It's not about characters. So, you know, Flash Film got facts wrong, and I don't understand what's wrong with them saying that this actually portrays any characters favorably except for the white male.
So now...
Multiple white males. They were looking pretty cool, like cool dudes.
Very cool dudes, like lots of tall Russians. Now, I will say that in no way did I expect a movie about robots punching Godzillas to pass the Bechdel test. However, I was a little bit dumbfounded when everybody that liked it were like, oh my God, it's such a strong female character in the lead. And I'm like, oh, you mean the emotionally fragile Asian chick who stares through a peephole like a little boy and is like in love with the white guy from the minute she sees him?
And has
a bob. That was weird, right?
That was really weird.
It was just me. I was a little uncomfortable every time she was on the screen. I'm like, are they going to somehow reference how uncomfortable this is making me?
Yeah,
is someone in the movie going to point at me and go, ah, it's all right, Brett, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Maybe Asian women just make you uncomfortable.
That's yeah, it.
Maybe you are a racist.
He doesn't like strong women or minorities. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like strong women or uppity minorities. But I like the whole time she just reminded me of Kiefer Sutherland's girlfriend in Young Guns, where he like saves her from sex slavery.
There's a room in my head. Your flowers are there. I go there sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny because even if I reference, all right, so the comments on the review were like over the top. I don't think I've ever angered that many nerds.
There was so much backlash.
I saved the review until after I'd seen it.
Yeah.
Because generally, for the most part, I tend to agree with you. And I wanted to see how much we diverged. And then I started reading the comments and had to stop halfway down the page down.
Yeah.
I got two page downs out of four. And then like all the blood vessels popped in my eyes and I just couldn't see anything but my own blood. It's just there were like four people on your comments site freaking the fuck out about how you were wrong and they hadn't even seen the movie yet. It's just like, I'm sorry, but if you're gonna rage on a web forum about a science fiction film that you haven't seen, you might not be able to be loved as a human being. Like, there just might be no hope for you. Like, that no other sentient being is going to find you acceptable for companionship.
I was just, I don't know, I thought it was odd that, because usually I feel like people come in and they disagree with me, but they don't really get that angry about it. Whereas anytime yeah. I bring up Pacific Rim, they get really angry.
Well, it and taps I didn't, into I mean, like some deep brain adolescent shit as well.
Yeah.
Because like I mean like really that's an emotional shit. Template of like an early adolescent that movie is appealing to.
Yeah.
So it's like you're fucking with their childhood in a way.
Yeah. Their perpetual childhood. You might pull them out of it and into adulthood, mm-hmm. and that's terrifying.
Hey, I don't want to derail Pacific Rim for too long, but I wanted to bring up, I was going to bring this up last week and totally forgot. Big fan of the game Borderlands 2. They just released some downloadable content.
What the fuck are you even? That is such a non-segue.
I'm bringing this around. I'm bringing this around, please.
All right,
please, Brett.
All right.
There's a character who is similar to like Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty funny. Well, the theme of this latest downloadable content that just came out at the end of June was like a Dungeons and Dragons type theme. So it's all like really nerdy stuff. So at one point he's saying like, hey, I want to be a part of this. And they're like, you're not nerdy enough. And then he's like, how dare you call up my geek cred? And it like turned into this whole side plot of this like Macho Man guy talking about like how he should be accepted because he's a geek at heart and he likes geeky stuff.
Oh man.
I thought it was kind of funny and I was like, I wonder how much of that was inspired by the infamous geek girl blow up of 2K12.
No, I bet Will Wheaton just ghost wrote that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I thought you were a little harsh on it and you kind of got aggressive towards the end. There were some points that you were kind of maybe baiting a little bit.
How so?
I don't have it up, but there were a couple parts where you didn't. I think it was involving him and his toys.
You're kind of
pushing some buttons.
Did it not feel like a nerd playing with his, like mushing two toys together the entire movie?
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, that was one of the. I thought there were cute parts about it.
I did too.
It wasn't good, but its failures were kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was like it was like action figures plus his like Asian real doll,
or like the hologram. Like Krieger has an archer.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that.
I didn't. I mean, I didn't hate the whole thing. Like as soon as the fights got away from the cityscape and like there was one in space and then there was like a little bit underwater, I thought those were far more interesting because it made them get away from. How many CGI buildings can I smash?
I don't know. I thought the intro was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, look, here's a high speed rundown and a bunch of cool scenes. Like they were all really nice scenes. It's like coming over the bridge and that's scary. Right. And then they got the one on the aircraft carrier. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking on board with
that
this
shit. That was my main frustration.
Then they explained it. And I was like, no, don't. I was on board. You don't have to be plot focused. But if you're not plot focused, don't spend half the movie on the fucking plot.
They just
stop telling me about this shit. I just want to see them collide.
They open the movie with the trailer, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. They cram 80% of the plot into the first and last 5 minutes of the movie, and then the rest of it is just this doldrums of nothing.
And 80% of the good shots. The intro was really cool looking because you could kind of see the monsters. The TV footage when it's beating the one that broke through the wall, that was cool. Right. And then her flashback was cool. Those were the only times that the monsters had like.
Did you like her
fight?
It didn't make any sense. Why was the monster singling her out?
Oh, because it's like I didn't take it as real history. I just thought it was her interpretation of how terrifying the thing was.
That was supposed to be like her actual backstory, right? Like why she was so attached to the colonel.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, he saved her. I don't know.
What's the colonel's name again?
Stacker Pentecost.
Apparently we're just inventing new last names in the future.
Stroker Panty Claws.
Jesus.
I don't know. I just took the Asian girl crying with a big red shoe. Like, they just struck me as like perfect film student symbolism. There's always someone crying over something red
I just meant the monster. That was one of the times that I felt like the monsters had weight.
True.
I felt that was actually shot from a scale where I was like, oh, that's actually kind of scary, instead of from this sort of top, like behind the shoulder video game third person shooter type thing.
Well, that was only one that was in the daytime, I think, too.
Yeah, maybe. I thought he did a much better job with the monsters than he did with the robots. The robots like shifted how they moved every other scene. Like sometimes they're big and like locomotive-y where they kind of pause between motions, and that was cool. And then sometimes they're just like jumping like they're fucking ninjas. Like it was all over the place on the sense of scale and weight.
Yeah.
That's what I pay for, man. If I see a robot movie, I want to feel like the robots are heavy.
Yeah, there wasn't like, I don't know, whatever. I'm so sick of talking about that dumb movie.
I feel like Uproxx has had that picture of Ricky Gervais at the top for like 2 years now.
They have. I don't know. There's that one and there's a Tom Cruise one.
He's dreamy.
He is so dreamy. The other thing was, what's her face? Spider Baby.
This is one of my favorite stories you've published in a while. There's a lot to like about it.
Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend. I got a little bit of shit for calling her Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend, like as if that's sexist. And I thought about it. I'm not like reducing her entire humanity to that. It's just
absurd shit.
Yeah,
it's because you wouldn't, because if you just reported it, people would say, "Who the fuck is that? Why should I care?" But when you say it's Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend, it's like, "Oh, that's interesting."
I think that should be applied retroactively. Like Yoko Ono should be known as John Lennon's girlfriend from now on.
That's nice.
Is there a way we can weasel William H. Muffman into this
somehow?
Is there an angle that we could take that would allow me to say William H. Muffman?
I would hope so. So she writes, she actually has a book deal, which did annoy me, I'm not gonna lie, for her book.
Hey, click on that ad that says podcasting on a budget.
Could you stop reading over my shoulder? You're grinding this to a halt.
Okay.
Yeah, Brendan's all about derailment tonight.
He really is. She got caught plagiarizing film reviews, which, two things. First of all, do you not know that people have Google now? Like, on what planet do you think that no one's going to notice that? And secondly, how fucking hard is it to write a movie review? All you have to do is have an opinion. There's like every jackass.
And eyes. You need eyes.
Yeah. I remember taking a class, like a writing class specific to film criticism. And like, there was a bunch of random, it was like one of those city, it wasn't through a college or anything. It was like the UCSD extension or something, where it's like all people from the community.
You took an extension class in how to write for film?
I did, yeah. Well, film reviews specifically.
It makes a lot more sense now.
And there was like middle-aged women in there, and they all wrote pretty decent film reviews. Like, you know, their sensibilities were different, but everybody was like, all right, I have a perspective, and I'm going to write it down, and it was fine.
That's like getting your degree and peeing your name from that guy in the subway.
What, you have something against
Vince
that?
Has his master's in
yeah,
that.
I taught that class. I am that guy in the subway. That's professor guy in the subway to you. And then so like this is the second time that I've covered it. I'm sure there's more where someone got caught like stealing movie reviews. And in both cases, the movie reviews are so fucking boring that you're like, you had to rip that one off?
Plagiarized Pete Hammond.
Yeah, basically. You want to read you a couple?
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's the one. Here's a review of Popcorn with Jill Sholin. Maggie, a student at USC Film School, is plagued by recurring dreams that feature a terrifying man evoking Satan and other cultish horrors. At school, the film department's funding has just been cut, but the department head comes up with an idea, holding a festival of old gimmick horror films in a soon-to-be-demolished theater to raise funds. This is all lifted from another review.
So she just like plagiarized the plot synopsis.
Yeah, that one's summary.
She can't even summarize.
Here's another part that she stole from Suspiria. Argento is at the top of his proverbial game when directing both Suspiria and Inferno, as they defy everything you've come to expect from horror films. Not only are they brimming with suspense and incredibly stylized violence, they are also absolutely beautifully filmed.
That's wow.
That's like the first rule of trying to describe something. Like when you have food, you don't just say delicious. Like you give some sort of
brimming with delicious.
Like brimming with delicious.
Do you think maybe she's not a plagiarist and she's just super fucking boring? And so when she writes, it's just the amalgam of everything else that's ever been said on the topic.
I'm assuming that the fact that she's too boring to write her own reviews and the fact that she likes boring reviews are somehow an overlapping diagram.
Yeah.
But you don't think she could be naturally boring, and this is just if you took every other word from the Twitter accounts of famous critics, it wouldn't just end up like this. Like she's a human spam bot.
You're saying the boringness comes from trying to make a pastiche of a bunch of film reviews?
No, she might be innocent and just super fucking boring.
Well, what's the other option?
She plagiarized movie reviews?
Oh, well, she's definitely not innocent because you can look up the reviews and they're all the same.
Oh, it's like word for word?
Yeah. No, it's like everything that I read was word for word.
Who wrote the original one? They're the boring robot.
No, she didn't even paraphrase.
So she's like, she's a copy of a boring robot.
Yeah, but the other thing is, what if...
She's like 3 degrees of multiplicity removed
from
the boring...
It's like if Arnold Schwarzenegger, as the Terminator, built like a bunch of little Terminator dolls and then had them do stuff.
What if she's making a comment? You know, she's dating Tarantino, who is always accused of just taking... ripping other people off and putting it together. What if she's like trying to do some meta...
It's an homage.
Yeah, a meta homage to a bunch of different reviews.
Well, any of that is erased when you look at the story of her covering her ass, which is just like one of the most absurd. Like it clearly shows that she is the most unoriginal person on the planet, because it's like, hi, I've been getting death threats, not because of this, but because of some other stuff. But anyway, could you take the proof of me plagiarizing down, because I'm having a rough time?
Here, I'll read it to you. This is the email she sent to the guy who wrote the first post about, you know, calling her out for all the plagiarism. Hi, my name is Leanne. I'm asking that you please stop writing about me online and let me address the issue. I'm writing an apology for my blog now that I will make available for everyone. I'm undergoing some issues right now, and I'm receiving email death threats, and have been for the last month, which is why I haven't commented at all on any of this. I need for these threats to discontinue because it's a separate issue. So can you please remove your blog posts about me so I can do this on my own, apologize to those involved, and then move on with me life without threats? I'm undergoing some issues right now, and I'm receiving email death threats, and have been for the last month, which is why I haven't commented on any of this.
She's
a bot.
She's plagiarizing herself in her own email.
I need for these threats to discontinue because it's a separate issue. So can you please remove your blog post so I can do this?
Oh, come on.
She plagiarized it from another apology note.
That's amazing.
She is
the best
bot.
Thing I've ever heard.
I am 26 years old.
Halfway through to write the first half.
She should change her name to Leanne Horse Ebooks.
What was the name of, or what? Remember you had that bot in your comments for a while that was like, I am 26 years old, supple.
Like, yeah, I don't remember.
It's
what
a
the
nurse.
Name was.
It went to nursing school, the bot.
Yeah.
You're like anyone in these days.
Nurse bot.
My favorite ones were the DirecTV ones that would start out normal and then be like, me and my colleagues at DirecTV, and what was it? It was a Dish Network. Me and my colleagues at the Dish Network have been using this service for a long time, and it's really good. Because those were elaborate and nice.
Hey, do you think that if we started referring to it as a bromage, that people would mistake it for a play on fromage, like it's cheese? Because I'm okay if they mistake it for cheese.
That's
no,
a few levels.
I got a new idea for my all-male wine and cheese party. My next all male wine and cheese party.
Sommelier, a bromelier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a fancy restaurant a while back, and the sommelier looked exactly like Lou Diamond Phillips. That's all.
Was he cool? Did he sing La Bamba for you?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then instead of paying the check, I just went, Richie! And ran out. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of a... That song's good. I like that song.
I didn't realize that. I just saw The Conjuring, and they had an older version of that, which has like lyrics and everything. I thought it was just like a 60s instrumental guitar song. I think it's actually an old standard.
I had heard that there's actually words to it.
Yeah, Sleepwalker.
Is that the movie with the clapping?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
Which part? The clapping?
The clapping seems like a joke.
I actually kind of liked it.
Because it's like, movie? It's not scary like a ghost. It's scary like, ah, I clap.
It's actually pretty scary at certain points. And funny.
What happens? Do people get clapped to death?
Yeah, they get the clap.
Applauded right to hell.
I liked it the first time when it was called Congo.
What?
Because in the monkeys, they clap people's heads off with like rocks in the Congo. What?
You remember
that?
They clap remember
that?
With rocks?
Yeah. No.
There's those huge smash? Gorillas and they like... Smash. But they have like flat stones and they like squish people's heads.
What?
You don't remember this?
I never saw
it. I remember they pulled somebody's eyeball out.
You didn't read the book?
That was an elaborate way to let someone know you're there.
They would balance rocks in their hands and then clap them together?
Yeah, well, they're kind of like flat stones, like hand axe type things.
Do they have a strap for the back of their hand?
You mean like you like one of those
Velcro? We're talking about monkeys, dude. They got some serious grip.
Yeah, they got big hands. They're used to swinging from the trees.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's like a basketball group. Okay.
I saw a baby in a sidecar today when I was walking up here. It was like a totally enclosed sidecar. It was almost rocket ship shaped.
Oh, so it didn't need goggles?
No goggles.
That's a bummer.
That's a shame.
I know. That's the best part about sidecars.
True.
Got to wear goggles. Sidecar.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Billy Joel with his pug in his sidecar?
No.
That was pretty cool, too. Big fan of animals in sidecars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Pretty much any animals with eyewear. Did the pug have goggles? Doggles?
No, he did not have doggles. Because he was like in the park. He was like in the garage or what? Driveway. That's the word.
I don't think of his house
like on Long Island.
I don't think hawks should ride in sidecars because they can fly and that's rubbing it in.
Yeah.
It's true. Plus, you have to put those blinder things over them.
Oh, Hockles. Yeah. They can't even enjoy it.
Hockles.
They can't even see out.
Hockles.
Hockles.
Oh, yeah. We're going there.
It's getting real stupid up in here.
Yeah. So, okay. I did want to ask about the Rolling Stone thing.
About
Cernev?
Jokar.
Brokar.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. It was definitely, when I saw it, it was a little like jarring to see his face, especially because it's like the, like, what's up, ladies?
You know? It's a very glamour shot.
Yeah, it's not a mug shot. It's a selfie.
It's a thug shot.
It's a selfie for the ladies to rub out a selfie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they do this?
Did they rationalize it at all?
I didn't see a response, but everybody was like...
I found Rolling Stone to be increasingly irrelevant. About the same time Travers fell apart is when Rolling Stone stopped really having very interesting articles for me.
I agree. I basically only read Matt Taibbi and then everything else was kind of...
He's pretty badass. The thing I noticed, they started sending magazines to my house, by the way. Is that the new thing? Is that like BMG or like Columbia House? They just started sending me magazines.
I haven't gotten any.
I never got a bill. But anyway... and I noticed the same thing. I was like,
that was the worst story I've ever heard.
No, sorry. I paused to compose myself.
I never got a bill, but
yeah. So, hey, free Rolling Stone. But I used to read it, you know, back in the day, you know, and I noticed I was reading this. I was like, there's nothing good in here.
They've had like the Jonas Brothers on the cover a few times and shit like that. And
yeah, but like, you could always count on one really good long form journalism piece, I feel like, in every issue. And it's not really there. And I definitely feel like Taibbi is.
Vice probably ate their lunch.
Yeah.
Vice is like, hey, that one long form thing is our entire bag. And then some weird stuff about how we get a smoke weed at the office.
Yeah.
Oh, do they actually release like a print version of Vice?
They have a magazine, but it's not, I think it's like quarterly or something.
I did not know that.
And it's free.
Oh, man. They're just sticking it to the man.
If you're on the East Coast, like a cool kid.
But not if you're the man, because you're probably getting it stuck to you real hard. Oh,
brutal.
I felt like Rolling Stone and Playboy were basically the same. Like I kept subscribing to Playboy for the interview, and then everything else was pretty much like, eh, whatever.
They do interviews. You shouldn't put terrorists or serial killers anywhere in the public. You should call them, like Ashley suggested, by assorted, you know, euphemisms for shit, and then just let them fade into history.
I don't know. I'm torn on this one because I get the point where like, oh yeah, don't make it attractive to be a killer, obviously. So I understand it from that point. But at the same time, I feel like the second that you just take those people and you're like, oh, well, they're so much different from us and they're evil.
I think they should be taken apart, like disassembled piece by piece to figure out where they broke. Like, I think they should be clinically like vivisected.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, fuck it. They're not going to produce anything for society except for, like, maybe some catharsis when they get hung or whatever. Like, let's take them apart and see what broke.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Disassemble them and treat it clinically, because they're not monsters. They're people. And somewhere, something changed. And we can, pull that out of them tissue sample by tissue sample.
I'm okay with that. It just feels like it's very attractive to sort of, you know, try and separate ourselves from them.
Yeah, but there's a difference between the sort of pathologist style, what's poison in here, versus using it for entertainment. There's lots of entertaining things. There's lots of like non-human related misery porn that you can look up. You know, that's pretty much all that CNN is. There's plenty of stuff
that's
that
pretty
does
much all it. Your bookmarks.
Yeah, there's stuff that doesn't sort of reinforce the cycle if you need to like get your daily dose of human misery. So don't feed into a loop that could produce more of the same.
Okay.
Go look at a hurricane or something. Hurricanes are terrible. Don't fixate on murderers and murdering.
What if it's a Sharknado?
Sharknadoes are awful, man. They sound like they're fun. They're not fun.
Do they make noise? Do sharks make noise?
Yeah, but it's like a really, really cute baby mouse sound.
Mm.
So it's kind of misleading.
Maybe that's the whole point of the Sharknado, is it's like we're giving it a howling sound that sharks never get to have usually.
I don't think the Sharknado should be humanized in that way. I think that's sending the wrong message.
Right. But then we make it too attractive for other potential Sharknadoes.
It's a loop. It's a shark loop. around really, really, really fast.
They're rotating around each
other.
They're
rotating. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cyclone.
There's a lot of hangers on in that kind of situation too. A lot of remores. Yeah.
Oh god. I just ejaculated. Yeah. That was amazing. Thank you, Matt. Vicious cyclone. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, let's just spend the whole rest of the podcast congratulating ourselves.
Yeah.
You guys.
It would be like watching real sports. Hey-o.
Yeah. Ooh. Did you watch the snowboarder thing?
That was good.
Crash Reel.
That was really good.
That was really good. Especially since HBO's other documentaries this season have been a little bit lacking.
I have the Pussy Riot one DVR'd. I figured that one's going to be good.
Yeah.
Is that sports related?
That one point, that's ESPN.
The Crash Reel is sports
related. Yeah, but why is the Pussy Riot one sports related?
It's HBO.
It's not. It's on HBO.
Oh, it's HBO. Gotcha.
Yeah, there's at one point the cute one of Pussy Riot, like they did something in a hotel a museum where they just had her and a bunch of her hippie friends just fucking and filming it.
That's cool.
And they just called it biology.
So was that in Vice magazine?
She's getting fucked by this really skinny guy with a limp wiener.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pressure.
Limp wiener.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Crash Reel was awesome. Did you notice like he sort of has that face that where you're sort of like your nostrils flared and your lips are always kind of
he's got
out like
teeth.
This. Yeah. And so like his mouth is never quite closed, but it seems
like a permanent bro.
Yeah. He's sort of like, he's always like the lips are always kind of, yeah. Hey,
sort of like Wanda from In Living Color sort of thing.
Yeah. God damn it. Sorry. The dog just sat on the microphone wire and kicked it out.
He's getting it back in. Just play by play.
Can I hear me?
He's back in now.
It seemed like that when he came back from the brain injury, it was a little bit exacerbated. Like, it was a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Well, you kind of expect that.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
What I took away from that is that you can't be a professional snowboarder unless you're really rich.
Yeah. Yeah, I just decided not to go to school and like, yeah. Just snowboard all day. It's like, how much do you think those passes cost?
I asked my parents if I could take winters off from eighth grade on just to go live in Mammoth.
Yeah.
I did like how they villainized Shaun White the entire time.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. And they even had it, like, you could tell they were subtly doing it in the interview with him because they're kind of trying to make him look all media, like all media trained and all the, like, all perfectly lit. And mm-hmm. And then all the other guys are like, yeah, he didn't let us ride on his half pipe. And
yeah. Did you, I, you know, what was weird is I was like, that's a really like cool family. They're all very nice and good people. And they just seem like really pleasant to be around. And then I got all weirded out because they did that thing where they all sat down to dinner. And then all of a sudden everyone stops talking at the same minute. And the dad like hits a bell on the table and they all just hold hands.
Oh, yeah. And silently. They didn't explain it at all.
Yeah. That was weird.
It was like a silent prayer sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, hey, far be it from me to, you know, condemn anyone's religion, but it caught me off guard. I was like, wait, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, is that some weird, like, ancient Scandinavian, like, half-pagan, half-Christian thing? Mm-hmm. They're all sitting around the table, and all of a sudden he hits a bell, and then they just hold hands.
Also,
and they don't say anything.
Is it just me, or did the Down syndrome brother, was he like the most articulate Downs kid you've ever seen? I know people that are less, like non-Downs people that are way less articulate than the Downs
totally.
Kid.
He was one of the most compelling parts of that whole documentary.
Like, he was talking.
He was so insightful.
Introspectively about his own Down syndrome. I was like, holy shit, I didn't know people could do that.
It was
kind of made me feel like shit, actually.
It made me totally feel like shit. Yeah. He was so sweet, though, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, man, what a nice kid. And then, like, yeah, he was so articulate and, like, just really insightful about, you know, his feelings and, like...
He's like, I hate my Down syndrome. I wish I could stop.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
I didn't know they were capable of that level of introspection.
It was so sad. He's like, sometimes it really stresses me out, and then I go to my room and I cry. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. He just broke my heart. It was pretty sad.
They never said anything about him being a high... Because, like, there's Downs kids that, like, don't really talk and, like... Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was.
I think there's a spectrum of severity.
Yeah, I would think.
I was just telling someone a story about how in kindergarten I went on a field trip at school where they paired us off with fifth graders, and we went to this horse ranch. And I was paired with this girl who had Down syndrome, but no one told me what Down syndrome was. And I had never met anybody with Down syndrome. So I was just like, why am I paired with this awful person? She kept getting like sick on the bus. She kept getting motion sick on the bus. Yeah. And then like was really, you know, kind of like surly and upset the whole time. Uh-huh. And I would just like run away.
Yeah.
And then my teacher got really pissed off at me and was like, you need to have a better attitude about this or I'm going to send you home. And I had no point of reference at all. The worst part about that was that every girl with Down syndrome I saw after that, I thought was her.
Just because they sort of looked alike.
Yeah.
Had the same. Oh, they must be sisters.
Yeah.
Man, kids are dicks.
No, but that was the adult's fault.
For not explaining. No one was like, she has a disability.
They didn't explain it, and they just acted like dicks when he was freaked out by it. Because,
fair enough.
Similar to Juan's story. Were you here when Juan was here when he was talking about like the black kid like calling him a wetback and stuff? And then when he like responded in kind, everybody acted like it was like the worst thing ever and sent him home?
No.
Yeah. Kind of have to tell the kid. Otherwise, that's on you.
Yeah. But yeah, that was good. I feel like there was a lot to absorb. It was actually there was a lot going on because you had like sort of the Shaun White angle, Shaun White as villain angle.
Mm-hmm.
You had just the kind of the natural story arc of a really high level snowboarder who has this devastating injury, kind of comes close to dying. And comes back and sort of like his road back. But then like all these other characters, like he had some brothers who were actually like really cool. Like one of his brothers like just dropped everything and went out to the hospital to live with him for however many months. And then, he's got the brother with Down syndrome. The family is like really nice. And like the dad's they're very like Scandinavian.
Yeah. Yeah. The good description. Yeah. I thought the most interesting part was where he wanted to come back to try and, which is ridiculous, first of all.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, is that just the kind of drivenness you have to be in that sport in the first place? Or is that actually part of his brain injury where he's forgetting like how much of a dumb idea that this might be?
That's a good question. I kind of took it as that's just how like one track mind he was, like, yeah, driven to snowboard. But I suppose it's a possibility, but it's actually really compelling, not to ruin too much of it, but it's compelling to watch him kind of come back and try to get back to like a really high level competitive snowboarding. It was there was a lot going on, and it was really good.
Yeah,
I thought it was it's the best documentary I've seen in a while, for sure.
I definitely remember working on, like, I worked as a PA or something, or grip, I can't remember. I worked on like the Do Action Sports Tour, which is basically like the X Games tour out here when it came to San Jose. And just watching all of those guys up close, whether it's I think BMX, the ramp, the vert ramp BMX shit is the craziest one, because, you know, the skateboarders don't have a giant piece of metal between their legs when they're doing all those tricks. And just watching all of them, you're like, man, if you screw up one little thing, you're definitely going to die or get paralyzed. You're basically just rolling the dice every single time. And, you know, and they just keep getting, all the jumps and stuff keep getting bigger and more complicated. And
well, that was a major part of the documentary where they were talking about how 10 years ago, the half pipe had like 8-foot walls and now it's like 22-foot walls.
Yeah.
It's like someone's going to die.
It's crazy that people still want to do it.
There were some insane crashes they showed. There were some ones that made your skin crawl. Because it was basically just watching people fall off a building. It's like a guy going on this massive ramp and then trying to do like a 30-foot air on a skateboard. And then his skateboard flies out from under him. And you just see him flailing limbs. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, no!
That's going to be the worst. You're just weightless for like 3 seconds being like, well, I am fucked.
Yep. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the motocross guys. They seem to fall less than the other guys, which is,
yeah.
Well, they're definitely the highest off the ground when they're doing their tricks. Yeah.
The snowmobiling too. I mean, it's a much bigger piece
that one's just
of
dumb,
machinery.
It's not even interesting to watch to me.
No, it's a much bigger piece of machinery. If that thing lands on you, God.
Yeah. Might you call them snoremobiles, Vince?
Mm-hmm. You've lost all the goodwill you built up with Vicious Cyclone. All of it just evaporated.
Can't we remember the good times, Brett? The Fishes Cyclones.
The Ska Faces.
The Ska Faces. The Ska Skank Redemptions.
Oh, it was this crew that caused that atrocity, wasn't it? All of your fault.
Exactly.
Brain injuries are the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's at one point they bring in a kid. He's like about to be released from the hospital and he's pretty good. I mean, he's walking fine. He's talking fine. And they bring in a kid in a wheelchair who's got like a dent in his head. I mean, he clearly had a massive head trauma. And they introduce him and they're like, yeah, he's a student at Boulder. He's a huge snowboarding fan. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're gonna be back on your feet in no time. And then he turns right around to his mom and he's like, I didn't look like that.
Yeah.
It was like really bad. And at the time, because they paint the picture of him as like a really nice kid, especially with the way they portray Sean White as being kind of a dick and Kevin as being all about his friends and his crew and just a generous person and everybody loves him. So that's the first time in the movie you're like, whoa, it is really jarring. And then a few scenes later, he talks about how he really has trouble with impulse control. Mm. And just like says random stuff.
I feel like that was a fairly natural reaction to seeing something like that.
Yeah, but you're
That's true.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not a natural reaction. It's an unnatural reaction to just say it in front of him to your mom.
The guy was like catatonic.
What's that guy going to do?
Probably die.
Well, the guy was like catatonic. I don't think you're going to really.
Or are you going to die? You pissed off?
I got yelled at by a lady in a wheelchair yesterday.
What for?
She said I couldn't walk.
What?
I guess I walked in front of her. She's like, you don't know how to walk. And I was like,
Matt Lieb has a good joke about walking through the hate and seeing some hippie in a wheelchair complaining about how the systems let him down and turning to him and going, yeah, the central nervous system. All right, so Song of the Summer, new entry.
I think this is a joke. I don't think it's
Pretty sure it's a joke, too. Because she seems like she's definitely trying to be an actress.
Yeah, she's hamming it up a little bit.
But then did you see her... One second. Now it's catching up.
I got a lot of tabs open.
Hey.
Damn you.
Does it sound like that on your guest side?
For a while?
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
You're terrible.
It's not my fault. Blame the internet. Okay.
I might want to refresh that.
Forget it. Computer hates me.
Oh, you got you got it open another tab.
No, I don't.
You got it playing in multiple tabs. You're like that lady with her email. You're
there
just gonna like play it on top
tab.
Of it.
I was closing the tab that had the plagiarism stuff in it. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Anyway, I think it's a joke.
Why did I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts. Why did I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts. Why did I get your mass text?
Crazy. It sounds even worse when it's freezing.
That's, it's not very good and probably fake. Well, which makes it even less good.
The thing that annoyed me the most is at the end when they're doing the dance, they do like the hang loose sign on the side of the head for the phone, but it's about a text. It's not about a call.
If it was like this, like held out in front
you'd have
of you,
to be looking at it.
I feel like if you're going to be fake, you should be as good as, what is it, DJ Self-Respect?
Krispy Kreme?
The guys, the Juggalo guys, the fake Juggalo guys that weren't real.
Dr. Consequence?
Dr. Consequence.
I forget what the band was collectively known as.
Oh, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to be fake, be awesome enough to make sure that no one cares if you're fake.
I'm going to cut your dick off.
Yeah.
So like of all the random weird music videos we've watched, I don't really remember too many of them. I can't forget Friday because that became such a cultural phenomenon. But all these weeks later, I still have "Why James Crying" in my head.
Call me crazy. I think I might prefer Thanksgiving to Friday. I mean, maybe not song wise, but definitely video wise.
Right.
Because he comes over dressed as a turkey to the house, and then he enjoys some ribs, and then he goes home, just partying with some sixth graders.
Just not rhyming, refusing to rhyme, just saying words in order. Not really doing a very good job.
Brendan also wanted to discuss our buddy Carl.
Oh yes,
from Stefanovic.
Is my computer torturing me today?
Remember when Carl Stefanovic reminded you he was born in New South Wales? When Queensland was losing, he floats with the breeze. That bloke. So despite Carl being one of the most passionate Queenslanders in the world, can you finally reveal once and for all?
Vince, pause it real quick. So they're referring to this gigantic rugby match in Australia called State of Origin, and it's Queensland versus New South Wales, and it's probably the biggest sporting event in the country, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like obviously it's called State of Origin, so it's like wherever you're from, that's a really big deal. So anyway, just to give our listeners some context.
Does that matter?
Well, it is the state of...
This is the same... I'm pretty sure there's only one news anchor in Australia because we've played like six videos all starring this guy.
And that girl, she's the one who goes, awkward.
Yeah, yeah, where he tries to tell the joke to Dalai Lama. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, the Dalai Lama.
I want one with everything. I want you to make me one with everything.
Origin.
Let me put it this way. I spent longer in Queensland than Greg Inglis.
It's not the point. It's your...
Listen to that.
Let it
move through.
Don't get violent.
State of origin.
Where were you born?
Where did you play your first game of footy? That's what counts.
Can't
where
handle
were you born?
The heat. See, you put a little bit of pressure on
him. He stormed off the steps.
Good luck without me.
It turns out he was born,
it was where you're born
in the eastern suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah.
It's where you're born.
Oh, God, I'd rather be dead.
Carlos.
Anyway,
good luck without me. That was...
And this is them chasing him down in the parking lot.
Too far.
Made it to gag.
We're supposed to be mates.
We are. We're brothers, mate. We're Sydney brothers. We're New South Wales brothers. Look, you've got a car that looks like a Queenslander. You still look like a bogan.
What's wrong with bogans?
I am a bogan.
Like bogans?
I am a part bogan. You know that.
It's like a Fast and the Furious car.
That yellow, like, what is that, a Holden?
It's a BMW or an Audi.
Down, mate.
Oh, is it?
My car's out there as well.
Oh, look how angry he is. He's a typical Sydney driver.
That's definitely an Audi.
Oh.
See you, champ.
Good kangaroo hops there, Carlos.
Where's the love?
Oh, dear.
Guys, why haven't we all moved to Australia?
We should have.
Just like a New South Welshman.
Because it's too hard to take anyone seriously. They get mad at you and you're like, hee. Granted, they don't get mad at you very often. But
right.
Yeah. I definitely remember one night where we were out celebrating something, and on the way home, we just pushed a bunch of trash cans over, and then the cops caught up with us, and it was like a lady cop, and, you know, being from the U.S., we're conditioned to be very afraid of the police because they can definitely like put your nuts in a vice. And in Australia, they just definitely do not have the same attitude of deference towards the police, where my friend just is like, he keeps needling, it's like a lady cop, and he keeps needling her, asking her if he can like try on her jacket and telling her how pretty she is and stuff. And eventually, and she was like smiling the whole time. I was like, man, in the U.S., you definitely would have gotten tased like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, you would have gotten a Nancy Kerrigan club across the eyes.
Indeed.
Do they carry guns?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think so. And their uniforms have like the black and white checkered design. Hey,
don't they wear like the neon vests too?
I can't remember. I definitely remember the trim with the black and white checkerboard. Didn't look too official.
They're really into ska.
Yeah, it must be. I was just waiting for the inevitable sigh.
Scad Max. That's totally how they pronounce it, too.
What was that word?
Scad instead of mad.
Oh.
Mad Max. Mm. Scad Max. Hey, you listen to Scad?
Brett, how's New York?
It's sweaty.
Is it?
It's yeah. Australia.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it really hot right now?
Yeah, and humid. You're in like an elephant's butt all day long.
Mm.
Just hanging out in there, and it smells kind of like a butt.
Me and Brett were at the same wedding over the weekend. He came back.
Yeah, I did. It's fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, me too. There was the little like ring bearer. Was she the ring bearer? Flower girl?
Flower girl.
Was the bride's, I guess it doesn't really matter. Anyway, there was a ring bear, flower girl, throwing the little rose petals everywhere, but she was like a young version of like me or someone, like really like super ADD, where the whole ceremony, she's just like rolling around in the grass. And as they're exchanging vows, she like just started, sort of wandered off back into the grapevines. And and as they're saying the vows, the dad starts walking after her, you know, trying to be like, come back. Come back over here. Come back over here. Trying not to make a scene. And so he starts walking a little faster. And she just keeps walking like a little bit faster than he's walking because he doesn't want to break into a run. He's like trying to make it, you know, as inconspicuous as possible. So they're just like making a big circle. It was like a Laurel and Hardy bit. They just kept going back and forth behind the actual vow taking. Very entertaining.
I went to one in Mexico at the end of April and behind, so picture this is like this beautiful beach in Mexico. It's like a Corona commercial. They're getting married, you know, with the ocean as a backdrop, but it's in this little bay, and there's like this spit of land that's kind of poking out, and there's just this like fat white couple, like, and one guy's like bald, and the guy's like bald and wearing sunglasses, and he's just so fat, he's got this huge gut, and he's like taking pictures. So he's like holding his phone up and like taking pictures, and the other lady's like rolling around in the water. It was amazing.
Wait, was he taking pictures of the wedding? Or
he's taking pictures of the wedding.
Okay.
Which I loved. I love the idea of like, well, we went on vacation. Check out all these pictures of this person's wedding who we don't know. Yeah.
One time, Brett and I, when we were in college, like during a spring break trip in Rosarito, we had like a beach house, and it had it had like the balcony that sort of fit the faced out on the beach, and there was a couple getting married on the beach out there, and you know, it's us and a bunch of our college buddies, so we're sort of shit faced and we're watching it, and we were like respectful. It was still the afternoon, no one was like really drunk by that point. And as they're taking their vows, there's like a guy in a dune buggy sort of thing. Like he's got a Volkswagen Beetle with like the bumper, like the roll bar and the you know, all
what is that?
Like all buggied out, right?
All buggied out. And,
what is that sound?
Hold on. All buggied out, and as they're taking their vows, this guy flips it. Like he flips his car and it's like going end over end as they're taking their vows. And then we're, you know, maybe 40 yards away on the beach house, and we're just pointing past him being like, oh! Probably, yeah. It's a memorable wedding for them. We're going to have, that was Pat calling, so I got to call him now, but I didn't want him to interrupt in the middle of
my. Why does he have a different bloop? Do I sound like that now?
Yeah, you sound all stupid.
What's wrong with your Skype?
I don't know.
Sounds stupid is what's wrong. Problem solved. Diagnosis achieved.
I'm trying to call him. I don't know what he's doing over there.
Well, you sure got a lot of feedback going. That's fun.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is the feedback terrible?
Not for us. Sounds all right on my end.
Okay, great.
Yay. All right.
Hi, buddy.
It's we're already recording.
Okay, cool.
This is Pat Schumacher, you guys.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pat.
Hi. I forgot your story.
You forgot my story?
Yeah.
Like the lead into my story?
Yeah, no, what you were going to talk about today.
Oh, that's fine. That doesn't matter.
I'm glad you meant like his bio.
I've been trying to get on the show for like, I don't know, like a month, and it just hasn't worked out. I'm trying to catch up to my writing partner, Justin Halperin's guest appearances. And I think I have a shot after last week.
No, that was like the best experience. That was the best appearance I think we've had from him.
You think so?
Oh yeah, the dog and baby. I mean, yeah, you couldn't have timed that better. As someone in the comments said, it was like we'd Skyped into a Marmaduke strip.
It was pretty amazing. I'm actually doing this from his house right now.
Oh really? Oh man, are you soundboarding us?
Not at all.
You old soundboard and son of a bitch.
Hold on, let me try to go to a different room. Oh, it's the Ohio State marching band. Sorry. All right, I had to do that. Sorry.
Oh, you get so many extra points. Bring in your own soundboard. That's the
next. Oh, hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who is he, daddy, and what does he do?
Well, all I wanted to talk about today was, well, this is also, the lead-in is about my writing partner as well, because we spend about 18 hours a day with each other, but I've had an ongoing feud with him about RIPD, and he thinks it looks really great, and I think his opinion completely discredits him as a person of taste, and I probably should reserve judgment, because the movie could be great, and to be fair, this is all stemming from Justin shitting on my excitement for Pacific Rim. And we all know how that turned out, and it was disappointing and everything. And I had to see it a second time just to come to terms with my disappointment, but I'm really hurting about that. And any opportunity I can rub any negative press about RIPD into Justin, I take. So thank you for running that article today about how it's tracking the worst of any movie like ever.
Yeah. We all missed that as a bomb pick, by the way, because cost $130 million, and they think it's going to make like 15.
I honestly had no idea what it was until like 2 weeks ago. I'm not joking when I thought it was an energy drink. I was like, is it like some Zions? Chuck Liddell's like dragging chains through the desert.
Yeah.
Zions ripped.
Matt Hughes is like, I can eat a country breakfast, and then I go out and hit a punching bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it got me.
I punch fatigue in the dick, and then I pray the gay away with ripped.
Country breakfast is my MMA name.
Yeah, he should have made that his official nickname. I mean, that's like the best.
But anyways, it got me thinking about irrational fights about movies that I've had with my friends, and because I know I'm being irrational, and even though RIPD looks like a Men in Black sequel, you know, it might be good. I don't know. Had Men in Black or Men in Black 2 or Men in Black 3 not come out, I might be singing a different tune. But I've had one story that for some reason has stuck with me over time. And it happened, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago. I'm over at Justin, my writing partner's old apartment in Los Feliz, which is a suburb of LA. And he and I are sitting there.
Let's get a little backstory. Hold on. How did you guys meet? When did you first meet?
We interned together in the summer of 2001 or something like that. I went to the University of Texas at Austin, and he went to San Diego State, and we worked at Quentin Tarantino's production company. It's called A Band Apart. We worked in the commercial and music video division, which does not exist anymore. But when we were there, it was amazing. It was like the heyday of music videos with like they did like NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye, and like Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time, that whole thing. So there were like mounds of cocaine everywhere. But that's how we met. We spent a summer in LA, then we went back. Each had like another year at school. And
did you ever have any Tarantino encounters like Justin had?
I never saw him once. He was just like the wizard.
Yeah.
Not once. It was a three-story building. We were on the second floor, and I don't think his elevator went to the second floor.
For the people who don't remember Justin's story, it was that he had to take a reel over to Tarantino's house, and the guy just told him to just go into his house and leave it there because, you know, they don't know when he's sleeping or if he's even going to be there. So he went in and put it in his house, and then at some point Tarantino just showed up behind him and was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, I brought this reel." And he's like, "Oh, cool." Yeah.
Yeah, he's all excited.
I think that guy still like watches all of his home movies on like reels of either 16mm or 35mm film.
That sounds like a Tarantino move.
It sounds like he has a very flammable basement.
Yeah. For any crazy people out there.
But yeah, so that's how we met, and then we just kind of stayed in touch. And he had like another semester at San Diego State, and he had to do his thesis film. And he was like, "Hey, do you want to co-write this with me? Because, and co-direct it with me? Because like, apparently San Diego State is such an upstanding institution that people who aren't enrolled there get to actually make films with their film majors." But we ended up writing and directing a terrible and terribly expensive short musical that we shot on like Super 35. We had like a 30-foot jib arm and like two dollies. It was insanely expensive, and we recorded down at this recording studio in San Diego where they did the score for like The Usual Suspects. So we thought we were like big time at the time. And the musical is called Genital Warts the Musical. we were like big fans of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and had seen Cannibal the Musical, and it was basically just a, you know, kindred spirit / blatant ripoff of that kind of thing. Only it was not funny.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's kind of how we started working together. And then we just started writing scripts together and, you know, eventually sold something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but we used to write over at his place in Los Feliz, and you know, just he was like waiting tables. I was like a freelance treatment writer, which I won't get into. It was like I just ghostwrite for directors who didn't want to write their own treatment.
Can I butt in for 1 second?
Yeah.
He was waiting tables and farting on celebrities.
Of course. Jennifer Love Hewitt being his biggest target.
Right, right.
And most deserving.
Mm-hmm. Most deserving. But he also just nailed Richard Karn as much as he could. That's Al from Home Improvement. I don't know what Al did.
He makes a good story. Like, he's one of those guys where it's like, there's nothing wrong with him, but you'd almost want to punch him in the face just to be like, "Dude, I punched Al from Home Improvement."
Yeah.
Just because it makes a better story that way.
It's true. It's better Al than Wilson because you wouldn't even know it.
Right.
Yeah, because he's dead.
He's fucking dead. Did you guys ever see that episode of Home Improvement? Like, it was like, I don't know, season 20. And when Wilson became like a pretty big character, and they still did, were doing like, they had to get him like outside of the backyard. So they were doing like Austin Powers style egregious like things in the foreground to obscure his face. So he was having dinner with this woman at a restaurant, and there was like an oversized novelty candelabra on the table.
I never saw that one, but Home Improvement was one of those shows where, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I go back in my childhood where I liked it as a child, and I look back at it now and I'm like, wow, that is horrible. But even as a young child, I still thought Home Improvement was fucking awful. Like I would try to watch, it would always be on at somebody's house, and I'd be like, ugh, this is the same show every time.
Right.
Tim does something stupid, and then his wife gets angry at him, and then Wilson gives him some stupid advice, and then he ruins the quote when he's telling his wife about it, and then they
But she loves him anyway. The one part you left out is he usually tries to weasel his way out of it, thus digging him further in the hole. And then, you know, it blows up, and she gets mad, and then he goes to Wilson for advice.
Do you think it's just easier when, like, someone says, all right, here's your mandate. Here, this is what every episode needs to be like. Do you think it's easier for the writers to sort of... to write now that they have a specific outline to follow?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, every show, once it, you know, finds its template, it's just like, yeah, you just plug in, you know, it's like I wrote on Cougar Town last year and we always knew it was like a hangout show and, you know, there was going to be wine involved and, you know.
Here is how you'll die. Enjoy the rest of your short life. You are free.
But I don't want to rag on Home Improvement too much because countless of Americans enjoyed that show.
I will do it for you, so go ahead.
I don't know. Home Improvement's great. What can I say? It inspired many a modern sitcom. Should I get back to my story?
Yes.
All right. So I'm just sitting there in Justin's apartment with Justin. We're watching a movie, you know, just screwing off, wasting time. It was 2006 or something, so it was probably like Sahara with Matthew McConaughey.
Wow, never saw that one.
Something like that. He's shirtless in it.
Of course.
So we're sitting there. His roommate comes home. Guy also worked at the restaurant. He's comes home in his apron, and he walks to the kitchen making a sandwich, and somehow we get into a discussion of like movies that we ended up seeing like multiple times in a theater, and you know, just stuff that we had like a really visceral response to. I think I was talking about Jurassic Park or something, or he was, and one thing leads to another, and I say something that I should never say to Justin's roommate ever because he reacted like I killed his family and pets and defiled their corpses. I said, I love Independence Day. Now, you know, like the movie has its flaws. Will Smith hacking into the spaceship with AOL or whatever it was. And Judd Hirsch single-handedly perpetuating anti-Semitism. But Justin's roommate like loses his shit. He literally like drops the sandwich he was holding and like kept the knife with the peanut butter on it in his hand and storms over to me. And he's just like, what did you say? I'm like, I said, I loved Independence Day. He's just like, no, you didn't. And he just proceeded to lean over me, peanut butter flex, you know, spitting in my face as he came closer and closer. And at one point he actually like did the poking of the finger into my chest thing.
Very theatrical.
Yeah, and I'm like, I couldn't help but like laugh at him. I got nervous and I laughed, which was only adding fuel to the fire. And finally I came to my senses and I'm like, you know, I did what any rational person might do. I asked, why do you hate it so much? And then he delivered his answer like it was the only answer and I should have known it already. And he's like, because when the alien ship crash lands and Will Smith confronts the alien, he punches the alien and knocks it out. And I'm like, so? And he's like, bro, you can't punch out an alien. And I've read my fair share of like Robert McKee and Hero's Journey and shit like that. And nowhere does it say you can't punch out an alien.
First rule of screenwriting. Voiceover is bullshit. No deus ex machinas. And you can't punch out an alien.
Rule number four, always bet on black. And that is why it was an irrational argument. And the ex-roommate in question and I have since made amends. And we're on very amicable terms. But I'm no longer allowed to bring up like any Roland Emmerich movie in front of him. So, and I maintain that Independence Day, like Home Improvement, is very enjoyable and has stood the test of time. But anyways, he's wrong, and you can punch an alien. And RIPD does not look like a good movie, though I hope it performs well at the box office because movies are dying. But that's the end of my story.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you about Independence Day, but I definitely like when someone hates a movie, but then they don't have, they just have like a completely irrational reason for it. I feel
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Plenty of reasons to hate Independence Day. It's fine. You know, no accounting for taste, but why, yeah. Why do you get psychotic about it?
There's only like, sorry, go ahead, Brett.
Ben's resistance to Looper because of it not matching his beautiful future vision. Where he's like, I don't like their space bike. That's not how that's not how space bikes are going to be in the future.
There's so many things
they're
going to
be much better than that.
There was so many odd things to pick apart about Looper. I found Joseph Gordon-Levitt's makeup really distracting. I was like, did he get
that's
plastic surgery?
Yeah. It's hard to watch him try and act through that nose.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it, but I do remember. I loved how, yeah, it wasn't
was
commensurate
like really
with Ben's vision of the
how
future.
The future's actually going to be. Yeah. Like, I was more interested in what Ben's perfect vision of this future is going to be like. I was like, well, wait, dig into that. Where do you expect it to go?
Yeah. What was his rationale for? Did he ever give a rationale for not liking Scott Pilgrim?
No,
he's just not his kind of movie.
It's just trolling.
Would you expect
I don't
him
think
to
he actually
that?
Didn't like it. I think he just knows that we enjoyed it so much.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that un-Ben. It's not like there wasn't stuff going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going. It was the cuts were quick, so he couldn't get bored.
I mean, it was subtext heavy, but it wasn't like the.
Yeah, you could enjoy it just as stuff moving around real quick.
Yeah.
But Ben's not like into stimulus so much. He's into the setup. Like he's got peculiar triggers. Like the fact that the Transformers, he's not about the explosions. He's about the idea of the robots, I think.
I can never predict what he's gonna like.
I know, it's weird. Like man, yeah. I wanna get inside his head for just a couple minutes. And then get the fuck out. But like just a couple minutes.
I'm trying to think of a movie where someone else would like it and it would make me angry and I'd have to feel like I'd have to correct them. The only one I can think of is Love Actually, because I feel like that movie is not only bad but wrong and everybody that likes it is being duped.
You fall in love with your own hatred though. the way you are with sourdough bread, you love the idea that you can talk about hating sourdough bread and that it's got a good 15 minutes of material built around that.
Yeah, well, it's my job.
I would have fancied myself on the other end of this equation, but I've definitely elicited some pretty angry responses saying that I like Mission Impossible 2. It's just absurd.
Is that the Woo one?
That's John Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely absurd. I'm well aware of that.
They motorcycle joust.
He gives him the rock bottom at one point. Yeah. In the climactic fight scene, which is excellent.
That's one of
doves.
Those movies where they punch each other, where they're like hitting each other in the head with cinder blocks, and they're just like, ugh, and then they just keep fighting. Where it's like, yeah. If that was real life, your head would have been cracked.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
What's going on back there now?
Soundboard.
Sorry, that was my soundboard of the janitorial services of Warner Brothers coming into the room.
Nice.
You know what? I actually have an irrational hatred or an irrational reason for hating Mission Impossible 2, which is that they did the thing where they pull off a mask only to later reveal that he's wearing another mask underneath. Yeah. and like, if that technology were to actually exist, Like Tom Cruise, who's in like a double disguise, would walk into a room and his head would be like three times the size of a normal head.
I would watch that movie.
I love
absolutely.
I love how absurd. And then they just got like the little sticker on their throat that completely changes their voice.
Yeah. It's part of what I loved about Drive is where he's got that giant ridiculous head.
Oh God, for no reason.
He just comes and
stands
goes
out of
there.
His way to get it. He's picking it from the trailer.
Yeah. It's actually like more clumsy mask technology than Face Off, which is another movie that I would I could watch that movie all day.
That's John Woo too, right?
It's also John Woo. I mean, it's just so stupid.
Do you think that's John Woo's perfect future? Is just everyone's face is removable? It's just that's really what he's been trying to get at through all of filmmaking, is just possibly taking someone's face and putting it somewhere else.
I mean, I talked about this a while ago, but I feel like Face Off is sort of this critical mass of a lot of really shitty 90s action tropes of just like really over the top. There was a while there, Con Air did it too, where it's not enough to just have a climactic scene where someone gets killed. It's got to be like, you know, they're like impaled on a spike and then like a tank falls on them and then like a nuclear warhead falls on the tank.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it was this like bizarre overkill.
Face Off was Woo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, and Nicolas Cage is just like losing his shit the whole movie, which makes it entertaining. There's that was that part of the beginning where he's singing in the choir.
Yeah, that was right before people realized that he was I mean, at some point he turned the corner from Oscar winning actor to like, you know, insane person. I think it was right around Face Off.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a part where he gets in a fight in the secret prison, and he's doing like the cry laugh thing, which Nick Cage does so well, where he's like,
once again, Brendan's disturbingly good impressions.
Dollar Bill's trying to tell me something.
But Pat, there's been so much time since the last time we had you on. I think last time we had you on, you like had a segment about online dating.
Dude, that was a long time ago because I am engaged.
Yeah, that's how long it was. An entire relationship happened in the course of in between the last two broadcast appearances.
That's funny because I think I added to that bit as well because I was doing online dating and I am also engaged.
Hey, congratulations.
Hey, thanks. You too, buddy. When's your wedding?
Sometime in the spring next year.
Oh, okay.
Breath of in September.
Mine's in July, so we won't have overlapping dates.
Why do I get the voice?
You always get a voice.
I didn't even contribute. I don't know why I have to be the brand of your wedding-related anger.
I do you squirrel on the wedding, the contract, because I just thought that squirrels are a symbol of love. And then there should be a squirrel on there.
Did you remember how to do that? Did you have to ease into it?
Oh, sure. It's kind of like riding a bike, you know, drawing squirrels. You never really forget. Sometimes you get a little rusty. The tails, they don't look as good as they sometimes, as you'd hope. You know, practice makes perfect, but you never forget, really.
I picture you slipping into like a hot bubble bath and as you submerge, you switch into the fake Brett voice.
Oh yeah, just sure,
like,
sure.
Right as the water crosses your face, you're like 100% fake Brett, and you come back a monster.
Can you do the far away voice, please?
Everybody,
far away voice, help me! Someone get me out of here!
That's happening in his mouth. It's horrific.
I'm trapped in the basement. Oh my god! Oh my god! Someone's down here, you guys.
That is horrifying because Vince just looks like Dizzy Gillespie with his cheeks puffed out, and then there's this alarming trapped in the closet voice is coming out of him
because you're shouting inside your own mouth.
Right, I gathered that.
Yeah,
as much.
Yeah.
I was just trying to paint the picture for the listeners.
I had a very lonely childhood.
So wait, you both got engaged off of OkCupid?
No,
is that correct?
Mine was Grindr. I did eHarmony. Which was, I gotta say, fantastic.
What was your first message to her?
Oh man, that's I can't remember. I just remember thinking like she's I really, she was the only girl that I contacted where I was just like, this girl will never contact me back. And I think I just, I don't know. It was very boring and just like, hey, I read your profile and you're fantastic. And then I made some stupid joke and never thought I was going to hear from her again. And then she emailed me like immediately and was like, hey, my account's going to like die in tomorrow. So
I'm on the free trial.
Yeah, exactly.
How many levels of compatibility
to live? So what's that?
So do you guys as master humorists feel that you have an unfair advantage in the realm of online dating?
Nope.
No, not at all. There was a time when I had aspirations to like write some sort of book of anecdotes, but like in the overall scheme of things, I was only on it for like a year and a half, and you know, I probably went on like, when I would like 20 different people, probably max amount of times, like twice with each person, and then, you know, met my now fiance. So I do not have a mastery of the online dating community.
I feel like it might actually be a disadvantage where you like, you know, you're used to revising more than you should be. And so then you probably end up going through more drafts of things than it would sound natural in an email.
Oh God, I would love to see Matt's drafts folder. That must be.
My fiance actually brought this up the other day. She actually said something like, you know, I really miss when we emailed each other. And I'm like, we live together. And she's like, yeah, but you know, like some of those emails, they were really sweet and well thought out. And I'm like, yeah, because I wrote like fucking 15 drafts before I sent them to you. And I like looked back at some of the emails and they were like seriously like as long as like and as long and like eloquent as the letters between John and Abigail Adams. it was ridiculous.
I was like, it used to be that me getting laid was contingent on me wooing you through this email. And once you took that carrot away, not as much.
Yeah,
I wish I had a cool online dating story. I actually got bored of it, and I think I deactivated my account, and then I met my fiance through people at work.
I don't think your account might still be living on, just in an awesome life of its own. Like, if you logged in right now, you realize that your personal brand has been getting so much poos.
Yeah, Robot Brendan is getting so much poontang, so much Robotang.
That happened to Matt Lieb. Didn't he tell that story?
What?
Matt Lieb had an OkCupid profile that he deactivated while he was in a relationship, and he thought that it was totally off the site, but when he got broken up with, he went back to reactivate it, realized it was still on, and had been accumulating messages, including two messages from girls who knew him from comedy and were like, you are so hot, etc., etc., I've had a crush on you forever. And then, like, their profiles were deactivated. So he doesn't know. It was, like, these girls that he knew from college and knew from comedy, and then they were just gone into the ether.
Oh, that's so much like that Twilight Zone where he gets to read the books.
What?
I don't think we saw that one.
Yeah, you have to...
The Twilight Zone? You remember that one?
Which one?
That's, like, the most famous one that isn't William Shatner.
He gets to read the books.
He wants to read the books.
Can you explain it in Pacific Rim metaphor?
He's at the library, and he's like, hooray, I get to read the books. And then he breaks his glasses. That's exactly what that is. You not see that? He got to read the books, but he broke his glasses.
They always have the ironic twist. I remember there was an episode of the new Twilight Zone where aliens invaded, and they were like, we have found that your dirty ways and your small capacity for warfare have angered us, and we're going to exterminate you. And then the UN gets together, and they hammer out a peace agreement. And they're like, look, we created this peace agreement. And, you know, it like goes, it's like time lapse from like, or like quick cuts from like, everyone's like nice and well groomed to, you know, big sweaty stains under the dress shirts and the ties, you know, top button unbuttoned. And then he goes back to the aliens and he's like, look, we came up with a peace accord. We're committed to this. And they're like, we said your small capacity for warfare. We were farming you to fight our wars for us. Now you will die, humans. Ironic twist.
Not their greatest episode.
You didn't see that one coming.
No. I just thought there was going to be something on the wing.
Yeah. Or Telly Savalas was going to get murdered by a doll.
Ooh. Or you get to read the books.
Not without glasses.
Try to read those books. Try to read those books without glasses. Oh, it's so blurry.
The near miss story on eHarmony or whatever it was is heartbreaking. Yeah. And I just sold it as a movie to Warner Brothers. So
you have a near miss story?
No, I just I was just saying your guys' story about the dead profile that he visited and all the and there are three girls on there that were like completely out of his league that he couldn't track down anymore. You got to track down those girls.
It's such a Leeb story.
Did they ever exist in the first place?
That if that guy had no luck, or no, that's not how it goes. That guy didn't have bad luck. Yeah.
It'd probably be better for
him. You're made out of like anti-podcast tonight. You're just reacting and just causing null. You're just nulling out.
Red
what
matter?
Do you mean?
You're like anti-matter. You're just nulling it out.
Why?
What is red matter anyway?
What?
What is it? What does it do?
Is this what is red matter? Who said anything about red matter?
Star Trek?
What is antimatter?
What?
What is it? You said it.
What?
What's antimatter? You said it. I want to know.
It's like ice cream.
Is it like,
I don't think that's right.
Is it like reverse stuff?
Yeah, it's like reverse. It's anti-stuff.
So like it sucks stuff in and just evaporates it?
Well, yeah, if it touches stuff. You don't want it to touch stuff.
Is it like a black hole? Like if a black hole was a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Cool. I want to know, why did Spock have so much of it
right.
in his ship? Didn't when he just needed to drop?
Didn't he put it like? Didn't he like give the planet an enema with the red matter?
Yeah,
and then it exploded.
Is red matter good?
I don't know. It just depends on what kind of matter you mix it with, right? Like the Die Hard thing where they mix the two chemicals together and it creates a bomb.
Are you talking Die Hard 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he throws the paper syrup. Clip and it breaks the explodes the chair.
Yep.
Syrup.
Syrup?
Syrup.
Yeah, because that's what it was.
Scissorp.
Yeah, scissorp.
Mm.
I just looked at my watch.
How dare you?
I feel like I should go.
No, you should tell some more
You're
stories.
You're not welcome here, Pat.
Ben, shit, man.
Ben's usually the one who like fills in spaces.
Is, oh.
And he's gone.
I'm not, yeah, I'm really bad at a space filler.
So are we. It's cool. We fill spaces with ska movies sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Ska movies like what?
Battlestar Galactica.
Scalactica.
Ska Trek.
Scattle Scar Scalactica.
Skaless in Seattle.
Hey, can you guys hear it when I sign off? Does it like make a good sound? Because I don't want to just like be silent for a while and you not know that I've hung up on you. I want to make sure that it like actually like.
No, it doesn't make a sound. Sorry.
Could I just make that sound? Could I just beep boop and that way you know I'm done?
No.
I bet I could.
Skankier
guys, is this like, are you like winding down on the podcast or is this the preamble before you talk about the state of Hollywood?
No, it's winding down. Oh, should we talk about the state of Hollywood? What are your feelings?
You're an insider.
I have no feelings on them other than movies are dying.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we can do about it.
But the box office was up like 12% last weekend.
Because of 3D. And here's my problem. I feel like there are fewer and fewer movie theaters. Let me put it to you this way. When I moved to Los Angeles, or when I first came to Los Angeles in the summer of 2001, there were 10 theaters in Westwood, which is like the area around UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
There are now 2. No, I'm sorry. There's 3. Think about that.
I do see that certain theaters have turned into like gyms and stuff, but
a Whole Foods.
I can't think of any that actually closed down recently.
Here, there are a bunch.
Where?
A lot of the independent
Lumiere
ones.
Lumiere closed down.
The one on the Red Vic.
Red Vic.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a good point. Hate Street. All those did close down.
So a lot of the independent ones got squeezed out. Are you talking about like small independent ones, Pat, or are you talking about even?
You know what? It wasn't even like an independently owned thing. It was like man theaters, you know, MANN. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They were like one-off movie houses in Westwood. That's what it is. I think it's like the death of like the one-off movie house came first, and now like the multiplexes are dying out too. But as somebody who, like, you know, I went to school in Austin. We had the Alamo Draft House, like before it became like a giant chain even. And it was amazing. And like, I think now movie theaters are like chains are like having to take cues from that and like having to add like extra incentives. Like, you know, you actually like sit down in a big cushy leather chair and have dinner and, you know, get drunk or whatever, like while you're watching a movie, or they're like allowing texting and shit, and they're having to resort to, this is going to be really sad.
No, go ahead.
No, they're having to resort to like other tactics to get people to like come out when like movies should be like a social thing. And I feel like movies should be a social thing.
Do you think that this is a distribution issue, or do you think it's a quality issue? And by distribution, obviously, I mean piracy.
It's probably both. And I think it's also seems like we're experiencing fewer and fewer like middle ground movies as far as budget's concerned, you know, right. Like you've got your indie movies and then you've got your like Pacific Rims and movies of that ilk. And I don't know, like
So do you feel like the studios are trying to hit a home run with the blockbusters and that's affecting the quality of the movies?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's like the internet's all buzz in the last few weeks because of Pacific Rim about like, you know, is this the death of like the original idea, and is everything going to be like an adaptation or a sequel or, you know, whatever? And I think that might be the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, saying I actually caught myself saying out loud, "Oh well, you know, it was an original idea. I was so excited," and then I said, shit, is that how low we've set the bar where just because it's original idea, people get excited?
Yes. That's not that original. Let's be real.
Yeah.
No, and I even said that. I said, and let's face it, it's not even that original. It's fucking Godzilla. But, you know, even so, it's like an original property with new characters that aren't adapted from a cartoon.
Totally. Totally.
You know what I think they're doing is basically like the movie industry is moving the opposite direction from everything else, where everything on the internet is becoming more niche, more specialized, more specific to a certain audience. Audiences are getting more and more like these tiny interest communities. And movies, meanwhile, they're still trying to make big budget ones that appeal to like the broadest cross-section of people. So like they'll still make money on a lot of them because like everybody will buy a ticket, but no one really likes it. Like there's a lot of, like there's a wide breadth of popularity, but there's no depth where it's like they might see it once and then, you know, they're not that into it. It doesn't inspire more people to go to the movies. It's sort of like they'll go to the movies once or twice a year and not be that happy about it, it seems like. And instead of, you know, making more specific, instead of making movies specific to a certain audience, it's like they're trying to please a ton of people. And that
I don't know why anyone's complaining about this. We're in the golden age of entertainment right now.
True.
Like movies were a weird phase where you had to go someplace, and I think now they're reverting to the natural properties of the medium, which is large scale spectacle in a group environment. Like anything that's not catering to that is better done somewhere else, either episodic, through, you know, fucking streaming. Like the access is no longer the issue. It's just the things that movies are good at are being big, being loud, and being in a group of people that are not quiet. And that's always what they've been good at. And I think a lot of the storytelling that used to be the sort of middle ground has found better avenues to reach the people that are interested in it and do, like, if you're an HBO or a Netflix miniseries and had to cram all your shit down into like a movie length thing, that might not really make you happy as a creator.
Right. Yeah, and you only get one shot at it.
Yeah, and if you fail, I mean, I don't know, probably not going to be great for you.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of shows that end up being good whose pilots aren't that great.
Right.
I mean, even two shows that I really enjoyed, I think about Sopranos and I think about Mad Men and Breaking Bad even. I remember not really being that into the pilots.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have made of like The Wire or even Game of Thrones if I only watched one episode.
The Wire too. I watched the first episode of The Wire a couple times before I got into it.
And you're like, oh, Dude, this is a drug show.
That's why I haven't watched The Wire. I watched the first two episodes. I was like, this is ridiculous and boring.
Well, it's like it's the first couple episodes. You're kind of, at least what I remember going through is sort of how is this different or better than any other, you know, cop drama?
Yeah.
But then it gets good.
But yeah, so, I mean, while the movie might be dying, like, who's going to mourn it? Like, it was a weird.
That sounds like a Newsweek cover.
What?
That sounds like a Newsweek cover. The movie is dying. Who's going to mourn it?
Or a newsroom episode.
Yeah.
No, you may be completely right. And I may just be like an old curmudgeon who's just, you know, clinging to the old ways.
I still like going to the theater.
Of stuff you liked. I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think there was a lot of special moments, but those are rooted in time. I just watched like a YouTube with Ian McKay talking about how he would never do like a Minor Threat reunion thing. Mm-hmm. He was like that belonged where it was, and to do anything with that now would be sad. And the people who were there during that time, that's great, and you should hold on to that, but not try and reinstate it later down the road as some sort of nostalgia trip.
Hold on, if we're going back to the newsroom thing, we'd be like, the movie's dying, Will. Who's gonna mourn it?
that's all newsroom is mourning, like mourning some dumb shit that's vaguely remembered over and over again every week.
Man, that fucking show! I watched the first. I only sort of half paid attention because I totally hate watch it when I watch it because I totally have a love hate relationship with it where I sort of like all the same things that I hate about it, and man. Like watching some of the old episodes, the one where he puts up the bullet point graph about like what a Republican is and like what a Republican has become is like the most amazingly pedantic bit of writing. Like if you're Aaron Sorkin and you're like, I'm going to tell Republicans what they should be like. It's like, wow.
I still haven't watched an episode. I can't even bring myself. I hate it too much to hate watch.
Vince might turn this into a C-Tates thing. You hang around with it long enough, and it's going to warm up to you.
Yeah. I know it. It's true. And then just the way that every male character has two chicks fighting over him at any given time, even if he's just like some lowly douchebag that works at the big news station. Oh, it's amazing, and everybody's so serious and everything's so serious and important all the time.
I just made a vow to not watch that show
until I figure out what the poster means with them in the desert.
Yeah. Good luck on that.
It means art. It means art in all capital letters, like loosely spray painted by a young teenage hoodlum.
Have you at least seen the new intro, Brett?
No. Although I heard what's his face talking on NPR.
It's got like people looking at news stories on the TV, and then they have it on their phone, and then they're texting it to each other, and it's gonna go viral.
The what's his name?
Aaron Sorkin.
No, the main actor.
Jeff Bridges. Jeff Daniels. Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Jeff Daniels.
What's harder, Jeff Bridges, Jeff Daniels, or Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton?
Pullman, Paxton, Jack Nicholson, for sure. Jack Nicholas.
Or
Dermot Mulroney, Dylan McDermott. Come on, guys.
Ooh, that one's tough.
That's a good one.
Nice.
There's also two upcoming directors named Gareth Edwards and Gareth Evans.
I have three names for you, and they're William H. Muffman.
How about Patrick Swayze and Kurt Russell? I still remember watching Big Trouble in Little China when I was a little kid, and my friend's dad's like, oh, yeah, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I think that's
Nick
so
Nolte,
funny.
Gary Busey.
Jeff Daniels, in recapping what the season was going to be about, made it actually seem like something I was interested in.
Yeah.
I guess they're following a single story, and I was like, oh, no, wait, it's a trap.
Wait, so
he almost got me to believe.
What's the whole part about it's going to go viral?
It's just like every aging screenwriter that wants to write something for the internet age. Like, you remember Wall Street 2?
Yeah.
She wrote an article and it went viral. Like, that's their big thing. Like, they don't really quite understand.
That got racist grandpa awkward.
Yeah, it did.
You know? Yeah. It was. We were like, should we walk out? Should we say something?
Yeah, it's like it's one of those things.
He'll be dead soon.
They don't fully understand what's going on, but they've heard the buzz term and they know that it's important. So they're just like, "Oh, it's gonna go viral!"
Like there's some meter or something, and there's like a guy with glasses and a headset who's like, "It's going viral! Everybody, get out of here!" You know, and it's like, "Boom, boom, 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 boom," and everyone's like, "It's viral shit!" And then like Jeff Daniels slowly walks away from the explosion.
Yeah, I'm sure Pat. I'm sure you've had to deal with this more because you used to work for Break and stuff at like a bigger internet company, but like those internet companies, you know, I'm sure someone else will buy it and then they'll call like editorial meetings and no one really understands the internet yet, so there'll be like some guy in a suit and he'll be like, "You know, guys, I think we need to create more viral content," and you're like,
"Yeah, exactly, it's all about SEO. I don't know what that stands for, but it's all about it."
Yeah,
actually, I don't know if Justin's told this story about Break. But this doesn't have anything to do with like technical lack of technical knowledge. It's just more like an interesting surprise in their marketing direction, I guess. Was, you know, like Break Media, they own a bunch of sites that are all geared toward males 18 to 34.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in a marketing meeting, and they say to us, they're going through their rebranding and. Their rebranding presentation, and they unveiled the big new like tagline for Break Media, and it was "We Do Guys."
No way!
No. I kid you not.
Oh, Break Back Mountain.
No way.
I think I'm just, like, I don't need to explain it any further.
Were you just shitting your pants the whole time?
Of course, because like 5 minutes prior to that, it was like I was reading the comments in a post I put up on the Screen Junkies, and I was probably called a fag at least 800 times within the first 5 minutes. So
what did you do? Like, where did the meeting go from there?
Well, it's just like, I think I might want to enlighten you about how this could be misinterpreted.
But was that something that someone, a corporate person, came up with, or was it like a copywriter?
It was a corporate person.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys.
Girl or a guy?
I believe it was a female, and yeah. So.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
But it had been like mocked up already. like they were like two steps away from pulling the trigger. But.
Don't you just wonder if you're like Brett's an illustrator. Like, if somebody gave you that copy, I mean, wouldn't you just be like, "Hey, so"?
No, I would just give them like the most subtle logo I could. Where if you just like if you put it in your periphery at like the right angle, it's just like dicks.
Or you'd probably like, I'm sure the art people are probably all passive aggressive, and they're like, "I'm gonna make the most awesome We Do Guys banner that you've ever seen," just giggling their ass off the entire time.
They don't pay artists super well. You really have to watch your copy with them.
Yeah, they get vengeful. That's kind of where that whole, I don't know if you guys watched that web series, You Suck at Photoshop. That's all kind of like where it came from, was like the disdainful Photoshop guy. Like, "Hey, can you do this for me?" Like, "Yeah, it's easy. Fucking
gonna
do that
put some dicks in it, though."
Yeah.
That's like being a tattoo artist. We're like, "Yeah, I'll fucking, yeah, whatever, man. You want me to fucking do that? I'll do that. Fuck you."
That drop shadow looks an awful lot like a penis.
All right. Well, you guys want to put this one to bed?
Let's do it.
Matt Lou of the Museum of Comedy, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
You could have talked more. I'm just saying.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I love Matt.
Pat, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Would you like any plugs of any kind?
It's too early for plugs, but I may hit you up later on.
All right, I'll plug you. Plug you up good.
He does, guys. He'll plug you.
Brett, thank you.
What? Oh, shut up.
Thanks for being you.
Yeah, all right.
All right,
you
thank me. What?
You should thank me.
Yes, I did.
That's what we just did.
That's what that was all about right there.
I don't come along all the time. Not all the time. Thank me.
Thank you.
I want to thank you like I do.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks to all our guests for coming on. Leave us a voice message that we probably won't listen to. Thank you, Vince. What's the Google voice number, Vince?
415-275 0030.
All right. And always, as always, email us at frogcast@gmail.com. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Only listen on Thursdays.